Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Outdoor Equestrian Podcast. My name is Remy Kelbel, and today is going to be fun also because I am going to interview an associate editor at Outside Magazine. His name is Jeremy Relosa, and I'm very excited because I'm going to talk with him about his article on why you should camp alone at least once in your life and some of the trails that he's been on. So thank you so much for being a part of the podcast, and here's the interview.
Hello?
Hi, Jeremy, this is Remy.
Hey, Remy, how you doing?
Good, how are you today?
I'm well, thanks.
Thank you so much for taking the time and doing this.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out. It's really cool that you have this podcast and you're conducting these interviews. It's awesome to see.
Yeah, well, thank you. I really enjoy it, so.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I know that you're an associate editor for Outside Magazine. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I wanted to ask first how you grew up and how do you think you're life experiences led you to what you do now?
Totally, yeah. I grew up in Virginia. I grew up in pretty much like suburbia, outside of DC. I will say that a big part of my childhood was storytelling. My family likes to tell stories, and I was always really interested in kind of like movies and comic books and books that kind of had a really strong story to them. And I feel like a lot of staffers here outside would probably say they grew up like outdoors all the time and camping and hiking. And as much as I'd like to say that, I feel like that would be accurate. I did camp a couple times and I did grow up hiking, but not as much as a lot of outdoor junkies here at Outside. So I'd say, yeah, storytelling was a huge part of my childhood, and I guess I pursued that going into high school and into college.
That's so cool. So did your parents, were they storytellers as well?
My parents, I wouldn't necessarily call them, like, storytellers by, like, their profession, but they were born and raised in the Philippines, and they came here to the U.S., and that in and of itself has a lot of stories in terms of, like, their journey and their life experiences. So I guess when I say that they would tell stories, it would just be about those experiences and how, you know, their life outside of the U.S. kind of informed how our family kind of came up in Virginia, so.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. So how do you think the outdoors played into how you grew up, like with the storytelling?
Right, so I'd say that section of my life kind of blossomed like in college. I was a member of the sailing team in college and the climbing club, and I would always kind of like use my free time to be outside. And as an English major in college, I naturally was just trying to find a way to write about the things I like to do. And that kind of combination of writing and the outdoors kind of shaped my major, and then eventually what jobs and opportunities I wanted to pursue after college. So I'd say all that whole obsession with the outdoors really took off in college.
Yeah, so fun. I'm starting to climb as well, so it's a lot of fun. I really like it. Yeah.
You're at is it Colorado State?
Yeah, I am. And they have one of the best gyms there. I mean, oh my gosh, it's so cool.
Yeah. I'm jealous of all of the outdoor access you have in college in Colorado. I went to college in Virginia, and obviously it was kind of it kind of pales in comparison to the amount of mountains you guys have in Colorado.
Yeah. So as an editor for Outside Magazine, I had read online that you got a Bachelor of Arts in English.
That's right.
You were a correspondent for the Boston Globe, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Very cool. I went to school in Williamsburg, Virginia, at William & Mary, and I was an English major. I guess I just took classes that I liked, and it was all in the English department, and I kind of navigated the English department in a way where I could take the most, like, creative nonfiction classes as I could. I kind of made a creative nonfiction kind of like major out of the English department. And funny fact is we'd read some outside stories and like dissect them for their structure and like how the writer did so and so. So it's kind of interesting to see it come full circle to be working at the same magazine I was reading in college.
Yeah, wow. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's really cool.
Yeah. So you started at Outside Magazine as an editorial assistant. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I kind of skipped over the whole Boston Globe part. But yeah, after college, I moved to Boston and just started freelancing. And I picked up some fact-checking gigs for the Globe. And I eventually started writing regularly for the sports page. I would cover like high school and local sports for the Globe, and I'd work like night shifts at the office. And it was a lot of fun. It was a very different pace compared to kind of like the slow burn of projects here at Outside. But after a few years, I was freelancing and writing for the Globe, and then I saw that Outside was hiring for a handful of positions, and I just applied, and I just kind of highlighted my journalism experience and then kind of my interest in the outdoors, and luckily they agreed to bring me on and moved out to New Mexico. So.
Yeah, wow. So what other media companies have you been a part of, and what would your advice be for someone who would want to write for Outside Magazine?
Right. In Boston, I was a producer for WBUR. It was Boston's, one of the NPR stations in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say that was an interesting experience because public radio is a much different pace compared to even, you know, the Globe and Outside. Public radio has like a very tight schedule, so that kind of dictates your work schedule day in and day out. Public radio was really interesting, and I'd say, to your question about what I'd say to someone who wants to write for Outside, it's really interesting. I'd say if you're coming from a person who's trying to pitch us a story, I'd say make a case for why you're the person to write that story. I think that's one thing that I see in pitches a lot is the idea will be solid, and the pitch will be there, but I think the writer, when we assign a really good story to a writer, when we give them the green light, they've made like a really compelling case for them to be the person to write it. So I'd say that's one way, but in a more general sense, for someone who wants to write for Outside, since we cover so many topics, I'd say just to make clear or like make that passion like very visible and upfront, right? I think another thing that happens when a story is really successful is you can feel the writer's voice and hear it, and you can tell that they're really passionate about the topic. And I'd say that's where a lot of good stories start, is that passion for the subject or the story itself.
Okay. Good advice. Thank you so much. So,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, you wrote an article this year in June about camping. It's called You Should Camp Alone at Least Once. And you were hiking in West Virginia at the time of this article, I believe. So tell me about your experience hiking or camping alone and how someone who has never camped alone can prepare themselves for doing that.
Right. So actually, I was recounting a time when I was in college, actually. And that was my first time camping alone. And that was a few years ago. But yeah, it was a really interesting experience. I didn't, you know, one thing I realized in retrospect was, like, I didn't really put a lot of weight into it. I was like, oh, you know, I'll just go camping. I didn't really think it was going to be this big deal. Mm-hmm. And, of course, after the fact, that's when I learned it was a much more harrowing experience than I would have pictured. But in terms of advice, I would just say do some planning. I feel like I didn't do as much planning as I'd want, but do some planning and know that you'll be better off for the experience. I think there were initially some hesitations like midway through, but I'm glad I kind of stuck it out and realized that, you know, camping alone has its great benefits. And if anything, it instills a lot of confidence that you can do a lot of things in the outdoors alone or, you know, with other company, but that feeling of like being self-sufficient and independent was a huge, especially early on in my outdoors journey, if you will. So.
Mm-hmm. And then I know in the article you talked about bears and how you were kind of, you couldn't sleep, I know that. So, how do you think you could have prepared better for that experience?
I probably should have brought, I could have just done more research, really. I should have brought bear spray. I didn't have bear spray. I should have bear bagged my food, which I didn't do. Mm. Essentially, I should have just taken all the right protocols. But, yeah, I think I kind of went gung-ho and was just like, I can do this. I can survive a night in the woods. And then I quickly learned that a lot of factors are out of your control, and just like the weather and conditions and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I could have just been smarter about like where I placed my tent, and yeah, just a lot of things.
Well, you learned, so I guess it's not that bad.
Yeah.
So I love the book Into the Woods. By Bill Bryson. Have you read that?
You know what? That is one of my cardinal sins. I've not read that book.
Oh, really? Okay.
I know. So that probably doesn't bode well for this interview.
That's okay. But
I've heard a lot about it.
So. Yeah. I like his sense of humor, definitely, and how he's this guy who's never, you know, he's not a hiker. He hasn't done this stuff at all. And he decides, okay, I'm just going to hike the Appalachian Trail. And he calls a friend up that's not really his friend. He hasn't talked to him in years, and he's like, do you want to go with me? And they go together. So, I definitely want to hike the Appalachian Trail after college. I think that would be super fun. So what kind of backpacking experiences and hikes have you had, throughout your life that you'd like to share?
Right, speaking of the AT, I hiked, sections of the AT in Virginia, just throughout college, but not in a dedicated kind of like through hiking way, just a collection of day hikes and overnight backpacking trips.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful, but I'd say the best backpacking trip I've been on was in Patagonia, in their Glacier National Park in Argentina. Just breathtaking views, just amazing weather. I went actually about 5 years ago in this month, so it would be like spring, summer there in Patagonia, and it was just beautiful. And the trail network there is really developed, so it was like a breeze. And I just got lucky and was able to travel a lot in college, so Yeah. That was one of the trips I took, so, yeah.
Wow, that's so fun. Where have you traveled internationally?
I've been a lot of places. Speaking about my family, back to my family, my mom used to be a flight attendant for a long time.
Oh, so. My mom too. That's so cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, our family was really lucky with, you know, the travel benefits and, like, standby flights and all that. So I tried to take advantage of that as much as I could when I was in college and I was younger. So internationally, I'd say one trip I want to highlight was I spent a few months in Nepal on a reporting trip.
Oh, wow.
In college. It was part of, like, a project for my class. I was reporting on how the 2015 earthquake in Nepal kind of affected their mountaineering industry, because a lot of their economy is dependent on tourists coming to Nepal and, climbing in the Himalayas and using guides along Everest. And I just wanted to see how that disaster affected them. And yeah, one of the most fruitful trips I took internationally, because it was a blend of, you know, professional, reporting, while also just, like, being in a new country for the first time, so.
Yeah, that sounds like such a fun story to cover.
Yeah, it was kind of a downer, to be honest, but, just because of just the disaster and how much people lost, but in terms of, like, fun in terms of, like, it was cool to, like, have that experience at a younger age, especially, like, really new to journalism. So it was cool to try a lot of things out and learn a lot, too.
Definitely. One of my favorite places I've been to is Peru, and we hiked Machu Picchu, and that was just so fun. Have you ever been there?
Awesome. Yeah, I have been to Peru. I went... I didn't go south to Cusco or to Machu Picchu, but I did go hiking with my friend north in the Cordillera Blanca.
Okay. Yeah. Region.
And that was great. Yeah, I love Peru. That is an amazing country.
Yeah. How fun. And are your friends really active too? Or
yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's, like, a big part of the outdoors, is, like, having a community that kind of shares your interests is, like, really important to, like, fueling your stoke. I'd say my friends are pretty active in the hiking and climbing and backpacking scene.
Yeah, yeah. Fun. And I wanted to ask, what is one of your favorite experiences that you've had at Outside Magazine?
One of my favorite experiences. Wow, that's really interesting. I'd say experiences could be, like, in a story sense. One of my favorite stories that I've worked on is this article I edited about robes. And this writer, Drew McGarry, I follow him on Twitter, and he's really voicey and really funny, and he's into sports and all of these other subjects, but I had this idea because he was tweeting that he was getting really into robes, like men's robes.
Okay.
He wanted to become, like, a robe guy. And one of my, you know, roles here at Outside is to oversee, like, product reviews for the site. And I thought it would be a funny idea if we got Drew to review a handful of different robes and just see what comes out of that.
Okay.
And he was really game to the idea. And I know this doesn't sound like an Outside story, but I guess that's what's so great about the magazine, is that we cover so many things in such creative ways. And so I reached out to him, and he was really game to just write an essay about robes, and that was basically the assignment, and came out really great, and really funny piece, and it's one of my favorite articles that I've edited and worked on. And yeah, I guess it's just a testament to like the variety of stories we can have here at Outside and still make it a good story, you know?
Yeah, and I like Outside because it's very diverse in its storytelling. Right. And then it's privately owned, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we have one owner. So, yeah, like a lot of our, I guess, like competitors, we're not part of like a big network of publications. So it's kind of cool to know, like, I guess there's like not a lot of, like a lot of corporate red tape. I guess there is some red tape just like with anything that goes on at, a work environment, but, yeah, it's kind of small and independently owned in that sense.
Yeah. And then I really like Bear Grylls. So what kind of people have you met in Outside Magazine?
Oh, it's interesting. I haven't met a lot of celebrities or, mm-hmm. like, you know, famous people just because of Outside. But I guess, you know, working with them and just being in the outdoor space and being such a big title in the outdoor world, has just put me in contact with a lot of people. So yeah, I mean, just exchanging emails with some of my favorite climbers and writers has been really, eye-opening, especially when I think back to like my time in college when I was like reading these people and reading this magazine and, yeah, it's cool to see it come full circle, so.
Definitely. It seems like such a cool staff to be a part of.
Yeah, like what you said about, like, you know, my friends being active and being outdoors, I'd say the same about the staff here. Some days when we get a lot of good snow on at Ski Santa Fe, at our local ski hill, people don't come in into the office until, you know, late morning. And obviously that's much different now with COVID, now that people are working from home. But in the past 2 years, it was cool to see that people were prioritizing their time outside, pun intended, in addition to the work they do at the magazine. So
yeah, very fun. And then you work at the headquarters, is that correct, in Santa Fe?
That's right, yeah. Okay. Here in Santa Fe, yeah.
Okay. And then I know that they have offices in Boulder.
Yeah.
Do they have, like, internships at all there? Or how could I look into that?
Yeah, so in Boulder, that is, like, a lot of where our marketing and our dev team works for the site. Mm-hmm. So we don't have an established, like, editorial staff there, and that's mostly in Santa Fe, but yeah, I'm not sure about internships, but you could always check our site, our careers page for that info. So
okay,
yeah,
well, thank you so much.
I will say that we do have like a rolling editorial fellowship that people apply to throughout the year, which is kind of like what we call our internship. So
okay, yeah, check that out. Yeah, I definitely will. Well, thank you so much, Jeremy.
Thanks, Remy. This is really cool that you're doing this. That's awesome. It is a really cool project. And yeah, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I always get like, I just started in high school just interviewing people. And yeah. I worked for the yearbook there and I realized like, oh, wow, like I really like this. So I started to study journalism in college. And I've just been doing this during my time in college, and it's been a lot of fun, so.
Wow. What year are you in school?
I am, well, I'll be a junior next fall, so I'm still undergrad. But I'm just a very hard worker. I work at my TV station at school. I write for the magazine. Yeah, so.
That's awesome.
It's just something I really like to do.
I commend you on just, you know, doing what you like to do for the sake of it. You know, just, I feel like, it, you know, in like a professional and career sense, that's just going to pay off in the end, or when you graduate or get a job or whatever career you choose.
Yeah.
So that is that's awesome, and yeah, best of luck with the rest of this semester, and yeah, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you so much. You're so nice.
All right, well, stay in touch, Remy.
Okay. Soon. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, that was my interview with Jeremy Relosa, an associate editor at Outside Magazine. I think that project that he talked about in college with the Himalayas and the mountaineering, that was very interesting. And I think it's so important to just know so much about the world. Like, some people aren't very cultured, and I think that's sad. I think we should live a life of travel and adventure and see things and do things that not many people would, you know, because that's just important and it grows us as people. So that's just something I thought was interesting despite the earthquakes. But I thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. Next interview will be with Maggie. She's an outdoor writer and she almost died in a whitewater kayaking accident. It's a lot of interesting things, and I talk with her about her near-death experience. It's crazy, but I'm excited for that interview. Thank you so much. See you guys.